It is now 11 o'clock, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, and this is Funk My Life. Funk My Life, all about the influences of soul and funk music, and in various forms of that, such as reggae and jazz and R&B and all sorts of things. And tonight's show, oh my goodness, I am so excited about this because I've spent more time writing this than any other show. And of course, let me tell you how brilliant I am. I completely forgot my gear. I have my laptop, I've written all my music, I know my playlist. I forgot to bring in my controller, I forgot to bring in my plugs, so luckily we have Thunderbird Radio helping me out and supplying the connective gear that allows you to hear the same music I hear. Otherwise we'd have to use the microphone, and I am your host, Ochre, and we're going to start things off a little bit differently. Usually we have a mix set. This time we're going to switch things up a little, mostly because we're going to do a very extensive look at the history of dance music. So we're going to start things off with one of my favorite, well, they're still around, but they sound very different these days. This is Massive Attack from, I want to say, their earlier stuff. So this is their trip hop stuff, but this is remix. This is the perfecto remix of Safe From Harm.
To the niceties of my childhood days. you. I was looking up to see if you were looking back at me to see me looking back at you.
La Lupe, and that's the track Fever. And she was a Cuban-American singer of several different musical genres, from boleros to garachas and Latin soul. Latin soul, how cool is that? So Vancouverites probably would describe her as a salsa music, and she certainly was a salsa diva, but she stirred up a bunch of the comfort zone back in the day, and she was quite popular from the 50s to the end of the 70s, originally from Cuba. We started the set off with Massive Attack's Safe From Harm, and that's it's sounding a little bit dated, as my fellow DJ in the studio, Brad Winter, and he also does, are you the music coordinator, the student music coordinator?
Vice president this year.
Oh, okay, vice president. Awesome.
And technical coordinator.
Which mic is that? There we go. So, like Massive Attack, they're still around, but they sound very different these days. They're doing a lot more different forms of music. They've moved away from this trip hop type of style that they used to do, and that was a little bit big. I want to say in the late 90s with like Tricky and who was the other big one? Portishead. That's it. Portishead. Yeah. They are still around, but again, they're doing things a little bit differently. They did a collaboration with Hope Sandoval. And it's this gloomy, gloomy track, and it's very different. It's very different. Anyway, so we're going to look into something called Man-Made. This upcoming track is a track called Voodoo, and this is a CMC and Solanta edit. And this is off the Man-Made Future Funk vinyl. They were published in 2009, and it's one of my nice little funk tracks.
Trouble and voodoo. That's your voodoo. child born to a land of scorn. Seas past the borders and the lords that hold his hand. He was led like a lamb, all part of the plan. This castle crumbles as he walks out.
So that was the Chemical Brothers with Battle Scars, featuring Willie Mason on vocals, another one of my favorite British bands. Well, not bands, I guess. They're kind of in between DJs, producers, and a band. And we started things off with Man-Made's Voodoo, and that's a CMC and Salenta edit. So, again, we have our guest, Brad Winters, in the studio. And
hello.
One of the interesting things is that I guess I met you at a work less party, and you were playing all sorts of like disco and disco related house. And then later on, that kind of led into, I've heard a lot of Chicago house coming from your sets. And I'm wondering, how did you get into that?
Okay, well, it started out, I've got a friend named Jason Lev who runs an edit label in Vancouver called Truth Is Light Records, and he's super into vinyl, like not into like technology or MP3s. So I offered him to make a website, and so in exchange for making a website, he gave me 100 house records. That was the deal. So I was like at his place, and he has a really really extensive collection, incredible. He'll pull out records and be like, this one's worth $2,000, this one's worth $5,000, or whatever like that, like disco records and stuff. And so he gave me a bunch of house records for that. And going through them, I guess I was really hit by how unique each one was. Like, it really is like its own personality, and like within a scene, before it's given a label like house or something, it's like everything all together, and I don't know, you can hear all the influences. It's soul, it's disco, it's like,
yeah, it's, and cool. That's the really cool thing about finding these junctions at the end of one style of popular music and going to a totally different one.
Yeah.
And that's like the kind of thing we really love here, when we listen to these old influences on new productions, whether it's like swing music. We had a two-show episode on remix swing music. Tonight, we're going to actually talk a lot about this kind of something nebulous, and oftentimes it is referred to as Chicago house music. And in retrospect, it really is just the origin of modern-day house music. I don't know. I guess there's some legendary names, right, who are still doing things like Frankie Knuckles, and I think I've definitely heard Frankie Knuckles edits from your set. Mm-hmm. And it does still sound very much like what you would hear today, right? You have like really driven bass lines, and combined with like disco era stuff.
Yeah.
And soul vocals. So that you still see into well into today. And it's funny because, for instance, the track I just played, the Chemical Brothers, Battle Scars, like, I would have a hard time describing it to people. Yeah. As funk music.
Yeah.
Like, how would you call it?
I guess Chemical Brothers, you'd call it like breaks. They're kind of, yeah, on that tip.
Yeah, but they also do. They also venture into like very housey, electronic sounds.
Yeah,
and that's really neat. Especially like you hear a lot more from, I want to say, UK producers.
Yeah.
Who really mix it into different styles and put it together. Why do you think that is?
Yeah. Well, the UK thing is like they just like jumped on that train like so hard in the early rave days. Like it was all about. It was all about house and hip hop, and even before that, it was all about Northern Soul, right?
Yeah.
So you know, it's always like they'll take influences and make their own brand of it. And Chemical Brothers are just one of those.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see, for instance, hip hop, which I feel is a very American thing, especially say ghettoized poverty hip hop, and it's neat because within the past 12 years, you've seen a lot of these grime artists come out from the UK, which are based on American hip-hop. And last week's show, it might have been 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jamaican independence music. So when Jamaica became independent from British colonial rule, a lot of their economy kind of just collapsed, and you had something called the Rude Boys movement, and that's when you had reggae music that was extremely politicized, and that kind of gave way to this image of, back still in the late 60s, early 70s, the image of a hustler, someone who's trying to make it in the streets, also writing their music, selling drugs, selling prostitution, and ultimately having an identity with that music that was later on adopted by, say, the New York and the West Coast scene.
Yeah, my friend was telling me about a documentary they saw about early dub music, and how it's like it starts out with, like, as it evolved, it was like them playing rock and roll songs or reggae songs and then just talking over it, and then they just started talking more, and then what they were playing just got more and more instrumental and dubby, and then that was hip-hop before New York even started it.
It's coming into all sorts of new productions, and so tonight every night we pretty much look at something. I don't have a name for it yet, but I'm thinking the degrees of separation, and it's looking at something that's either well known or modern or something that stands for something, and its connection to an older or a lesser well-known track, often the original of something that is either sampled or covered. And tonight, we're going to play a track from one of the most successful R&B female artists out there. This is Mary J. Blige with Let No Man Put Asunder. And the reason I'm playing this is when I started to look into Chicago house music, and pretty much influenced by one of your sets, this was one of the first tracks that I heard, but not from Mary J. Blige. I heard it from Frankie Knuckles' edit, so that's not even the original. And we're going to listen to the original tonight, but first, here's the Mary J. Blige version.
Awesome.
Brad, who sang the original?
That was first choice who did that.
And what do you think about the new version?
It's pretty faithful. It sounds like they pretty much, you know, they stuck to their guns about it, except for that woo woo, woo, woo at the end there. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty revolutionary back in the end. Yeah, it's really amazing. I don't think they rewrote the song, which is really funny to see. And let's talk a little bit about Mary J. Blige. Now, she is an American singer-songwriter, has 10 Grammy Awards, 4 American Music Awards under her belt, 8 multi-platinum albums, and most interestingly, she's received the World Music Legends Award for combining hip-hop and soul in the early 1990s. So she's not just a commercially successful artist, but she also advanced the art of creating new genres from these old tracks. And how cool is that? So that's what we're all about on this show, Funk My Life, on CITR 101.9 FM. So taking soul music elements and putting it in new and interesting arrangements, and I have to say she is considered the most commercially successful R&B artist in terms of raw numbers. So here's the original, the one that Brad's talking about. This is First Choice's Let No Man Put Asunder. So you can kind of see that it sounds pretty much identical. And there's a very big gap between those two tracks. One's from the original, the one you just listened to. That's from 1977, and Mary J. Blige's cover is from 1999 from her Mary album. Now, First Choice, the original artists who recorded this, were an American girl group. And they were a trio from Philadelphia, and they produced numerous disco hits that I don't think really changed the world. I mean, they had a lot of hits, but kind of not that well-known, I want to say, even though they're not completely obscure. And the thing is, this is where you can start to hear the transition from disco into something totally different. And I want to talk about Chicago house music. And they are considered in the group of both Chicago house music and disco. And it's a big topic to try to tackle. I definitely like to cover more about this transition in future shows. And it's a style of house music that emerged in Chicago in the mid-1980s. And it's an interesting thing because it doesn't have a canonical definition. Nobody can really say that Chicago house music has to have elements A, B, and C to be considered Chicago house. It tends to be more about this style of experimentation and tends to include Chicago-based musicians throughout the 1980s and later. Now, tracks may be in the form of acid house, hip-hop house, deep house, or garage house genres. And we'll see these influences as we continue this line that we just started to draw right now between Mary J. Blige and First Choice. So following Chicago's Disco Demolition Night in the mid-1979, disco music's mainstream popularity fell in decline, and in the early 1980s, fewer and fewer disco records were being released, but the genre still kind of remained popular in some nightclubs in Chicago and a couple radio stations. And these radio and club DJs in Chicago, like Frankie Knuckles, as we've discussed, but also others like Grant Hardy and Marshall Jefferson, started to mix modern styles with these older disco records, newer Italo-disco tracks, hip-hop, and electro-funk tracks. Finally, they also dabbled in this R&B offshoot that was a new genre at the time called boogie. So it's this mishmash of music that's going on, and they accompany this with physical reel-to-reel tape editing and remixing. So doing it by hand with scissors and also with really clunky machines that you would definitely not be able to do if you didn't have a dedicated studio. And they focused on portions of the songs which worked well on the dance floor from these older tracks. So does that sound familiar? It's because things like groups like Fatboy Slim, Duck Sauce, Fetty Legrand, they all do this kind of style of remixing these days, and it was revolutionary for the time. But what's interesting was that these edits and remixes were largely privately owned and were passed around in mixtapes. They weren't really published. So, you know, to this day, it's not this grand movement in music history, unfortunately, even though it has so much influence. So along came all these technological influences like effects, drum machines, and electronic synths. And these edits and remixes went around. And here's the thing. So we talked about the death of disco in 1979, where they burned disco vinyl records in a Chicago stadium during a baseball game. And if you're a DJ around this time, you're always interested in the art of mixing, and you're always trying to look forward to what's coming up next, especially if you know like disco's on the decline. And so they're looking to create a new kind of sound. And like the British invasion we talked about last show, they were heavily influenced by a European movement in electronic music. But before we get to that, I will have a message from our friendly newspaper at UBC.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
So here is a very, very classic track from a German band back in 1977, and this is Kraftwerk's Trans-Europe Express.
Express. rendezvous on Champs-Élysées. Leave Paris in the morning with TEE. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express.
So that's a very influential track from Kraftwerk. It's only half of it. It continues on for another half. And as you can kind of tell, it's got this minimalist style that was, you know, I'd say it's definitely not the kind of musical sound that has been adopted on a popular level. It's very minimalistic, and there are some exceptions to it, but the things that these Chicago house artists took from it were these influences in technology and in sound. So for instance, we have basically three elements, right? You have your electronic mechanized rhythms, you have this minimalistic sound, and you have manipulated vocals. So there's not much I'd want to say beyond that. You don't really have choruses and you don't really have verses. So it's almost this progressive sound. And a lot of these disco DJs that we talked about who were cutting up these disco tapes and looking for something new combined it with this kind of sound because it was this new era of synthesizers and a sound that they took directly from Europe. I mean, once again, that track was released in 1977, and once again, Death of Disco, 1979. It was a direct influence from the European scene. And remember those three criteria: electronic mechanized rhythms, minimalism, and manipulated vocals. Listen to this. This is a very recent release from just last year, and it is Without Lies, the Breakbot remix.
Something to melt the ice, flow a good disguise to start the show.
Listening to Funk My Life on CITR 101.9 FM. Welcome. And this is where you can clearly see these two influences, right? You have on your left hand, you have this tradition of soul and funk music. You got it in the really awesome bass lines and the kicky, uppity feel of the song. And on the other hand, you have this like weird mechanical influences. And that comes from all these experimental house groups that were not only in Europe but predominantly in Europe, and that's kind of where they looked for influences on where to take this kind of soulful funky music, and it is still very popular to this day. So that's from Aeroplane, and that's the track Without Lies, and that's the Breakbot remix. Breakbot being one of my favorite Australian groups. But it goes beyond that.
There's more?
There's more. So it's this 1980s disco style with an extremely funk-heavy bass line that we talked about. It's kind of, you kind of hear it in new disco as well. And these earlier experiments came to create groups like Aeroplane. Now, Aeroplane is a Belgian music, or originally were a Belgian music duo, but now is only one member, Vito De Luca. And they combine French house and Balearic beat. French house we've talked about in previous episodes, and they use a lot of loops. It's just loops on loops, and it's almost progressive because it doesn't even feel like it has a chorus, but it has, what it does have is an amazing build because you're just looping and looping.
Filters.
Yeah, and you're adding things on slowly and slowly, and then you get, your filter, so you sometimes have like this whoosh sound, and then it releases in this bass-heavy climax. So, Aeroplanes is considered French house and Balearic beat, and Balearic beat is also known as Balearic house. It's this electronic dance music that emerged in the mid-1980s. That is another very interesting thing to note. 1980s. Once again, end of disco, 1979. Look into a new kind of sound, and it heavily influenced what came next. And it's named after this small European island you may have heard of. It's part of the Balearic Islands, and it's a place called Ibiza. It's a part of Spain, and much like a genre like Goa trance, it's named after where it emerged. So it emerged from the Balearic Islands in the 1980s, and Goa trance, funnily enough, also 1980s. And it's in the subculture of a late 1980s European house music, and where it all comes together as something we call clubhouse these days. So think early ecstasy popping European dance club, baggy clothes, rave music, bright neon clothes, kind of kind of scene. And early raves, apparently, I wasn't actually there. I actually completely missed the rave scene, to tell you the truth. It's during the rave scene, a lot of the early music wasn't about the aggression. It was more about this incredible mind-altering music. And I would love to do an episode on Balearic Beat because it's this incredibly dreamlike music that's combined with this up-tempo dance tune. Percussion, I want to say. And that's the tragedy I all feel about music, about rave music these days, is that it kind of imploded mid-1990s, when they started shutting down all the parties. And it became more about the drug culture. It became more about the intensity of the music. So both the speed, the aggression, the buildup of high energy.
Yeah.
And it almost became difficult to enjoy unless you were a part of the drug culture rather than the music culture. And that's where I feel things, you know, kind of lose their charm. And it's this inward introverted house dance style that suddenly fell out of fashion. So the funny thing is that only recently has it started coming back, in my opinion. So for instance, Canadians like Deadmau5, but also collaborations between Tegan and Sarah and DJ Tiesto with Feeling My Bones, that kind of brings back this introverted, inward-looking, dreamlike sound that combines it with house music, but is not trance. That's the key distinction. It's very different from trance. So, for instance, if you listen to Sky Ferreira, who's an upcoming new artist, she also does something very similar to Balearic House. And admittedly, a lot of people would group this under the umbrella term of trance music, and it's not really an important deal if you do that. But what is really key is that this ethereal-sounding Deadmau5 track versus the trance music debate is that I would say that it takes what has been done and then redoes it in a way that combines it with, I want to say, modern influences that comes from funk music. It's going to be hard for me to justify tonight, but and I don't think I'm going to try, honestly. But we have a really cool thing, because I started looking up Balearic House music, and frankly, it's Funk My Life. We got to play it. This is from a DJ who goes by Balearic Sessions, and he is known as Roger Shaw. And this is a track called Flamenco Mediterraneo, if I pronounce that right, which I know I didn't. We'll be right back. Oh, how sexy is that sound? Flamenco with house.
Latin grooves.
It it's not something you hear often.
Yeah.
Like, this is literally the only